I tell you what, I couldn't be more proud of you guys to come in here and all the garbage we went through the whole season to stick together. I tell you, you guys showed a lot of character. You showed a lot of mental toughness today. You showed a lot of fortitude. You showed me all the things that I thought you had all year. Now, why the hell did it take you so long to show it to
me? Right,
but we're working on Monday, boy. All right, let's go.
Coach, I'm going to say something.
Guys, and I got a ball to present to a guy that has carried it all the way and never had anything but positive energy all the way. And this is to Mike Tice. We knew we were going to win.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the Rubes, by the Rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on 494.
Ooh, as long as we got each other, we got the world spinning right, and love is with you and me. We gotta be the luckiest dreamers you ever could dream.
Welcome to the show. I'm your co-host, Chuck.
And I'm Dave.
And Dave, we completely screwed up.
How so?
We failed to partner with Corey Cove and have him offer like a Patreon subscription along with every copy of Initials that he sold.
Ugh, damn it.
Yeah, that would have been probably not a bad idea, right? Holy cow. Like 15 minutes to hit 30,000. And last I checked, it was over $200,000 that he took in on the Initials game. Congratulations. That is freaking amazing.
I was going to say the $30,000 goal. I guess I didn't exactly know what to base that off of, or, you know, he probably didn't know exactly what to ask for doing a Kickstarter for the first time, but wow, yeah, that was over before the Initials game was over.
Yeah, it was happened really fast, and he was kind of explaining today that was sort of his cost level was kind of what he was targeting. So,
sure.
Yeah, quite the accomplishment. And it sounds like this is going to be kind of a continuing thing too, because it sounds like he's going to keep issuing new clues and having new packs and everything. So, this is going to continue to be a moneymaker for Mr. Cove, and well done. He puts a ton of work into it, and like I'm just echoing what everybody else has said. He definitely deserved it.
I really hope that they're able to throw that the party, the initial kickoff party, when the game releases in June. I know that's when it's scheduled for now, so hopefully we can all celebrate the Initials board game together.
That would be fantastic. All right, we've got a big show for you tonight. In addition to the Bets and Quotes and Quotes Notes, we had the opportunity to interview former Vikings tight end and head coach Mike Tice to talk about a wide array of topics. And, you know, if you can't remember what Mike sounds like, if you haven't seen him interviewed in a while, he has got a sweet, deep voice. I wouldn't say it's a quite a Brian Oak type voice, but I think, Dave, you'd agree. It's a pretty sweet, deep voice on a set of pipes on Mike Tice.
It really is. It kind of straddles the line between intimidating and just really cool. So, yeah, I really love his voice. He's got a voice for radio.
And Mike's a super awesome dude with a ton of stories. So it was such a great opportunity to interview him. So we'll play that back for you later. First up, we've got some Patreon shout-outs. I want to say thank you for your support to Ben Shore. Thank you also to Jackson Coster. And also to Zachary C. Burmeister, which that name sounds like he's worth like $200 million, doesn't it? Like, Zachary C. Burmeister, to see you.
Ooh.
So thank you guys. Thank you, Ben Jackson and Zachary, for your support. Of course, you can support us at patreon.com/betsandquotes. We do the Power Trip in a Minute every day for our listeners. And we throw out some other fun stuff too. I think we are going to do a Patreon listeners virtual happy hour on Zoom sometime either later this week or next week. So try and do some fun things for those of you that financially support us. So thank you for that. Let's get rolling with a bets update.
Here's this week in Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets. Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets.
Power Trip Bets, though.
Where's Power Trip Bets when you need them?
Ask Power Trip Bets.
Is Power Trip Bets drunk?
You want to bet?
Ooh. All right. Well, of course, we don't have any new bets. But what I love is I think the people of Twitter are starting to feel like I am, where it's like, come on, you need to bet on something. And I'm surprised that Corey, because Corey's the guy that bet on turtles, and I'm surprised Corey hasn't kind of gotten behind, like, let's just pick something random to bet on. I know Haley tweeted out tonight that she thought people should bet on Wheel of Fortune. And, you know, just pick one of the three contestants, you know, $20 a pop, $50 a pop, whatever. The guys could easily do that. You know, each day they could say, I'll take, you know, contestant number one, number two, or number three. Boom, come in the next day. We got some action. So I like that idea. Somebody else suggested betting on The Price is Right. Hey, good idea there. Another listener threw out the idea of Sauce and Hockey betting on which one of them would be first to 87,000 Twitter followers. And I was like, well, one of them's probably clearly in the lead, but I went out and looked. They're both at 86.5. So
wow. That
would actually be a really good bet to see which one of them gets to 87,000 first. And, you know, what tactics they might employ to encourage them, you know, because I'm assuming they would bet on themselves because we don't, you know, the old Pete Rose theory here. So each one of them bets on themselves to get to 87,000, you know, which one could pull that off. The other one I wanted to highlight, because both Meat Sauce and Jeremiah Searles talked about this one, is the McDonald's challenge that's been thrown out on Twitter, and I've seen it in a few places. From what I can tell on the tray, you're looking at eating 4 double quarter pounders with cheese, 2 20 piece nuggets, 2 large fries, and 4 pops, and you have 90 minutes to do it. Jeremiah Searles made it sound like this was, you know, preschool. So I would love to see him try it. And Sauce definitely seemed like he could do it as well. So it would be awesome to get a bet going or get a challenge going to see if somebody could do that. It reminds me of the old AJ Chicken McNugget challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another nugget challenge. But I love food challenges. They're very fun. Obviously, they could do like a, you know, stream it live and do it from their house. And hell, I might even try to do this.
There's
I'll
no
probably
way
fail, but
there's no way I could do it. But, you know, maybe if you did about 3/4 of that, like maybe take away one of the burgers and half of one of the nuggets, I could maybe do it at that point. I don't know. It'd be quite the stretch, but hey, why not? Everybody else is sitting around getting fat during the quarantine, so might as well jump on board, right? So, all right, well, that will do it. Hopefully, we'll get some bets at some point. But in the meantime, it's time for the quotes of the week.
They're memorable. They're timeless. They'll probably get Meat Sauce fired. It's time for the quotes of the week.
Power Trip quotes.
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 All right, friends, it is time for the quotes of the week. And we will start at number 3 with Paul Meat Sauce Lambert.
I think I know this. I'm sorry, but for those people like myself who don't, Marcus Smart, a basketball player?
Yes.
Okay.
He plays Celtics?
Yep.
He plays Celtics?
He plays Celtics?
He plays Celtics?
Okay. I can't even. He plays Celtics?
I mean, we love Paul. We don't like to make fun of Paul, but I really do like this one a lot.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And I do miss the Captain Caveman sounder because I loved Captain Caveman when I was a kid. And yeah, it's one of those that that Corey likes to hit whenever Sosk has one of his little grammatical errors on the air.
Well, and it's like when they do the Christian Ponder make playoffs thing. he missed two words. So Sauce missed two words in there.
Mm-hmm.
Plays for the You know, it wasn't just one word that he missed. So bonus point there. I thought that was genius. All right. Well, speaking of Corey Cove, he made the list this week at number two.
You're an average sleeper. You'll roll over 12 times in bed tonight. Roll Jeepers. Over, buddy.
Yeah, you should play that.
You want to see Meat Sauce roll over really quickly?
Sure.
Hold up your pinky.
Okay. Yeah. Red Rover, one. Red Rover.
Oh, poor Sauce. He's never, ever going to live that down.
Nope, nope. He'll be the pinky guy forever.
I'm sensing a theme with these quotes. It's like pick on Sauce week.
Yeah, I definitely didn't mean it to be, but a lot of times that's most of the humor of the show. So, well, at number one, the Hall of Famer himself, the two-time Quote of the Year champion, Chris Hockey.
Saxophone.
Oh.
I can't imagine. You know the reason I never learned to play the saxophone? Because it's hard to bang and play it at the same time.
Yeah, well, it gets in the way.
And any time that I hear the saxophone, I have an erection.
So you have one right now.
Oppie.
So this is another one I talked about a couple weeks ago where it's kind of like a double quote. I wasn't sure which one was funnier.
Right.
Every time he hears the saxophone, he gets a boner. Or, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, definitely. What I loved about this one, too, a little behind the scenes on the old Power Trip in a Minute, is Dave and I will kind of go back and forth on who's going to take, you know, what highlights from the show. And this one, I think we both had like two or three different things written that we could have kind of attributed to this this particular fact. So, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Anytime that happens, you know, it was a great quote.
Well, there you have it. There are the quotes of the week.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right, this week on Your Thoughts, we've got our Mike Tice interview, and we're going to do quotes notes after that. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Hey guys, I have a brand new podcast to tell you about. It's called Binge Kill Chill. Binge Kill Chill is a podcast all about the streaming world, from The Mandalorian to Stranger Things to all the new stuff coming, like HBO Max and Peacock. Binge Kill Chill is hosted by TC, a Twin Cities OG, and his British co-host who looks like Sweetums from The Muppets. It's not a good look, but thankfully, TC still has that Minnesota sexiness going on. Check it out on Spotify, Apple, or Google. We guarantee it doesn't suck.
All right, so the guys at Binge Kill Chill wanted us, Dave, this week to do Binge Kill Chill with the following: Tiger King, Crocodile Hunter, and Planet Earth.
Ooh.
So, yeah, an interesting collection there. Why don't you go first? What do you got to Binge Kill Chill between those three?
I'm for sure going to binge, and like I did last week, I'm going to binge Tiger King. I'm going to kill the Crocodile Hunter. Just didn't really like the Crocodile Hunter too much. I don't know. I didn't watch it very often.
Crikey.
And so that that means I'm going to chill with Planet Earth. Planet Earth is just, I mean, you could just put it on in the background and just kind of hang out. Really like Planet Earth. So there you go.
I think that's actually a really, really good order, and it's really close to what my final answer is going to be as well. Much like you, I did the binge thing with Tiger King last week. Crocodile Hunter, I am definitely going to kill. I watched a few episodes of it, just never hit me the right way, you know? So I'm definitely going to kill that. But instead of binging Tiger King, I think I'm going to chill on Tiger King just because I think I've seen it twice already. I saw it once as Tiger King on Netflix, and I saw it the other time as having lived in Oklahoma for several years. So very much the same thing. So we're just going to chill with Tiger King, and I'm going to binge Planet Earth because I think Sigourney Weaver narrates it. And yeah, like you said, it's just visually, you know, absolutely stunning. It's, you know, something I think you just watch episode after episode after episode, right, and not get tired of it. So, so yeah, pretty similar to you. If I had, you know, the asterisk on that is if I hadn't lived in Oklahoma before and I hadn't already watched Tiger King, that definitely would have won the binge category for me.
Sure.
All right. Well, there you have it.
All those veteran tight ends for 16 yards, and then McMahon to the veteran 13-year veteran Mike Miami Tice. So 25 years experience combined on those two tight ends for the reception. 7-0 the Vikes.
All right, well, we are so excited to welcome in a very familiar voice to Viking fans and gamblers alike. It is former tight end and Minnesota Viking head coach Mike Tice. How you doing tonight, Coach?
Chuck, nice to talk to you guys. How's it going tonight? You guys safe and at home?
Safe and at home. I was going to ask you, what does quarantine life look like in the Tice household?
Well, you know, we in Seattle, in Washington, our governor, Inslee, shut down the state real early. And we've been in quarantine well over a week, just like everybody else, trying to be smart and safe. And we're old. We don't do much anyway. So, you know, a couple trips to the supermarket. I keep trying to talk my wife, Diane, into not working at the food bank on Wednesdays, but she refuses because there's so many families that need to be fed. So I worry about her a little bit, but I'm not leaving my fat rear end out of this place for anything except more food to make my rear end fatter.
I tell you, everybody bought all this food to store up, and I think we've all eaten it in the first week. So
I know. My buddy said, I hope I don't gain 30 pounds.
Well, we're so glad you joined us tonight, Mike. Our podcast is kind of based on a radio show that was started by the superstar Mike Morris right after he retired from the Vikings.
Yes.
And you played, obviously, with him, and you were a coach on the team when Mike was still playing. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I throw out the name Mike Morris?
Well, lots of energy, lots of buffoonery. Lots of, if you want to call it that, a guy that really enjoyed the weight room. He really liked working out and liked throwing those weights around, and a really good family man. Mike was an excellent man.
You had, like, because you were the coach at that time too, and you had that offensive line, they were great, first of all, but they were kind of a wild pack of guys with like Jeff Christie and Randall McDaniel and all those guys.
Well, they were hard workers, and they were all smart, and that's what separates the good athletes from the okay athletes from the bad athletes, and that's intelligence, and intelligence not only as a human being, but intelligence of your job. I was blessed to work with some guys with the Vikings that really knew what it took to be a great player, be good players. You know, at one point we had three Pro Bowlers in the same season, 1998, on that offensive line. And we had a couple of Pro Bowls after and before that. So very blessed to work with excellent players, and that makes you a good coach.
Well, thinking back to your playing days, obviously gambling is a big focus of ours, and we know that you enjoy gambling as well. When you were a player, how aware were, you know, maybe you and your teammates of, like, the gambling lines on games, odds to win the Super Bowl and stuff like that? Was that, like, a – you know, real, I mean, obviously you probably knew who was a favorite and who was an underdog, but how closely did you and or other players pay attention to lines when you were playing?
Not at all. I don't think either as a player or as a coach really came into play that much. We were worried about winning football games by 1 point, and the fans would get mad because we beat what was supposed to be an inferior team because it had, and this goes on still in sports, beat a team that had an inferior record, and we were supposed to beat the team by 10 points and you only win by 4, everybody's mad. We didn't really care. We just wanted to win the game. We got wins and losses in our box. We didn't get, oh, you covered and you didn't cover.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely the gambling community that focuses a lot more on that. And you know, obviously you live out in Washington State, and just last week they legalized sports betting at the tribal casinos. What is your thought on that in terms of the expansion of sports betting in Washington State, and how do you think that will affect the NFL in the long term?
Well, I don't think it'll affect the NFL at all, just for the reason I said, the players and the coaches and the equipment guys and the trainers and
the strength coaches and the strength staff and the personnel and the scouts, they're worried about winning games. They're not worried about the line, and they're not worried about if Vegas is happy or the bettors are happy because you covered. So I don't think it's going to change anything for the players and the coaches and the people that work in the National Football League. I think it'll change something for the fans, as it will make it easier and simpler for them to bet on a football game or bet on a sporting event. Here in the state of Washington, you're not allowed to bet on any college team, Washington and Washington State, obviously, that have sports in the state, only at the Indian casinos. And I don't think it's going to be legalized at all the Indian casinos. I think there has to be, or I think there is, I shouldn't say has to be, there is some type of criteria that each of the casinos have to meet in order to get sports betting moving forward.
Okay, so yeah, still some hurdles to go. I know a lot of states have legalized sports gambling, but probably only it's just a little over half that actually have, they're actually accepting wagers at this point, because you know, a lot of states, there's just a lot of red tape and a lot of paperwork to go through. I know your home state of New York, they've got legal sports gambling, but I think there's only one casino that's actually offering it right now, as they try and work through all the hurdles. Now, having said that, if the sports betting opens up more, like in your state of Washington and stuff, is that something that you'd see yourself, you know, partaking of on a regular basis, or is that it's there, I'll do it if it's convenient, or is it something you think you'd go, you know, kind of out of your way for?
Well, no, you know, I really only got into doing sports when I got into when I was a player and a coach, and even as a retired player and coach, when I was able to get into a couple of the March Madness pools that I got into.
Okay.
Other than that, as you guys well know, I'm a horse player. And so even this year, if you looked at my podcast, Odds and Ends with Mike Tice on YouTube, I picked 13 pick of the weeks, game of the weeks in a row. And I talked to a couple of friends, one of which works for Bobby Flay, my buddy, the chef. And he said, well, you're betting on the games? I said, no, not really. My son lives in Vegas. I had him bet a couple of games. He said, what'd you bet? I said, that's $25. He goes, you can't buy a sandwich in New York for $25. So, I'm not really, it doesn't make me any more excited than getting the chance to read the racing form and try to figure out how to beat the other people that I'm betting against on a really good horse race. That's really what my flavor of the week, and really the thing that entices me, no pun intended, as far as action is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, Mike, you led into my first question for you just perfectly. We had the Florida Derby last week, but obviously the news came out with COVID that the Kentucky Derby is getting pushed back into September. How do you think that will affect the horses and the quality of racing in the Kentucky Derby and some of these bigger races going forward with extra time?
Yeah, that's a great question. They moved the Kentucky Derby to Labor Day weekend. The Oaks will take place on Friday, the 4th of September. The Derby will take place on Saturday, the 5th of September. My wife Diane and I have gone to a number of derbies, over a dozen or so. We are blessed to be able to have a box at the Derby in Oaks. We were just told that they would credit us and we can go if we want to go. And if not, we'll figure it out. We were renting a house because my kids were going to come. So we have to decide, do we want to go to the Derby on Labor Day weekend? But I'll tell you, as far as the horses are concerned, to answer your questions, these three-year-olds running the first Saturday of May, in my opinion, that far has always been too long and too early. And with these horses now that are bred more for speed than they are for stamina, I think that moving the Derby back is actually a good thing. And I think you'll see some trainers take their time with some horses that might not have been ready the first Saturday in May, but will be ready in Labor Day weekend. The problem you run into is you need qualifying points, and you need it to be in these races that I've been picking on the Saturdays, these Kentucky Derby qualifying races. So I don't know that the best horse will actually win the Kentucky Derby this year, the best horse on Labor Day weekend. And that's because some of the horses that might be doing the best as three-year-olds will not be eligible because they didn't qualify with points in some of these earlier Kentucky Derby qualifying races. Now, you're supposed to have the Wood Memorial and Aqueduct this week. You got the Santa Anita Derby coming up. Both those tracks are closed right now. In fact, they're making Aqueduct a hospital in New York for the coronavirus. So this is going to be interesting to see moving forward. Now, they did move Oaklawn Park, the Arkansas Derby, to the first Saturday in May, which is Kentucky Derby Day, which I think was a great move and a smart move by Oaklawn Park.
Yeah, that'll really will be interesting. Obviously, I was tuning into the Florida Derby as well, and yeah, I was just the volume of in the amount of time and the extra qualifying points. It's just there's so many dynamics that go into it. It'll be really interesting to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think it'll be exciting for the fans because now with the Kentucky Derby being so late, it's going to keep, in my opinion, it's going to keep fans interested longer.
Right. Right. I love it. Well, let's shift back over to the Vikings. You spent nearly 15 years in the organization. What were you most proud of from your time in Minnesota? Maybe a couple of people that you enjoyed the most.
Well, first of all, I was very fortunate to go to the Vikings when Denny Green and Brian Billick called me to come out of one or two week retirement to go play for the Vikings. And I was fortunate to play for Denny Green and learn a lot from Denny Green and Brian Billick, Chip Meyer and that crew. I really enjoyed that time. It was a time when we had good guys on the team and a time when we had a lot of fun. I enjoyed the coaching aspect of it. I enjoyed working with the offensive line. They were always the tightest group on the team. I really enjoyed that. And then being a head coach was different. You know, it kind of came by default. Just kind of got handed to me because I was inexpensive. But I did enjoy coaching the guys, and a couple of moments that really stood out for me were that 2-point conversion when we went for it to win the game in New Orleans after we told Lanahan on the headphones, let's just throw the same play, and we did it 3 times in a row to Randy Moss, and you knew he was going to score, and he scored, and we went for the 2-point conversion. The ball hit the ground, and thank God it bounced up into Dante's hands, and we were running the quarterback power is what we were basically running, you know, that Tebow play that, you know, they invented in Florida. Mm-hmm. But we were running it back then, but they invented it in Florida. So then the other one was the playoff victory in Green Bay. That was a great moment for the guys. And, you know, I just enjoyed the people. I mean, so many great people there that are still there. That are dear friends of mine. And so many dear friends in the community and the communities, the surrounding communities of Minneapolis.
Yeah, I think everybody enjoyed that playoff game with the possible exception of Joe Buck. So that was that still gets talked about. You know, we're what, 15, 16 years removed from that that playoff game, and that's still, I think, one of the big playoff highlights for the Vikings.
Yeah, it was good. Hey, listen. To go and win in Green Bay on the road in that cold weather, couldn't win. You're a dome team. You can't win unless it's, 40 degrees. And we dispelled all of that. And so coaching staff did a great job, and I'm very proud of them. The players did a great job, and it was a great moment.
All right. Well, moving to the current day Vikings here, it's been a very active offseason for the Vikings, obviously trading Diggs and cutting and moving away from a couple of veterans. Obviously, they've acquired some draft picks here, but what's your thoughts on the Vikings roster here moving forward?
Well, they got rid of Diggs. I think they probably decided to cut ties because of just maybe the drama or whatever. I'm not in the meetings, but that would be my guess. They got a first, a fifth, and a sixth in 20, I think, and then they got a fourth in 2021. They got some picks, you know. I think it's going to be good for them in a year where they could use some help at some positions. So that was a good trade, I think. You know, they released Josh Klein Everson Walls is out. Everson Walls, how about that? That's an old name, Dallas Cowboys. Everson Griffin is out there in free agency still, I believe, right?
Yeah, he is.
You know, he does have a record, though. Remember, he does have a Viking record for the longest block punt return for a touchdown, 43 yards. Got to throw that in there. But, you know, when you lose an Everson Walls, you're losing 8 sacks last year and, you know, 74 and a half, whatever sacks he had in his career. There was a great Viking. That's going to be tough. That's a move that's going to hurt. They did get to sign some guys back, which is nice. They did sign back Abdullah, you know, good kick return. C.J. Ham, excellent player. Good move there. Put the tag on, what, Anthony Harris, I think. Signed back Lyman, D.J. Dozier. And they tendered Eric Wilson. So they made some really good moves. Rob Brzezinski and that crew and the general manager, Rick Spielman, they do a tremendous job. I've worked with Rob and still a dear friend. So I'm pleased with where they're at. They signed Michael Pierce. Now, let me tell you something about Michael Pierce. They signed Michael Pierce. I did a little work on him. The DT from Baltimore. Sure, he was a college free agent coming out. But this guy is active. You know, he's 6 foot, 340 pounds. Andre Patterson, another dear friend, is just one of the better defensive line coaches in the league today. He only played 14 games. He had 19 solo tackles. And you say, well, so what? Well, you know, Linville Joseph, the big veteran in the middle, he only played 13 games. He had 26 solo tackles. But Jahlil Johnson, the kid that had the 5.5 tackles for loss, he only had 15 solo tackles. And Shamir Stevens, another player I had on the podcast, he had 15. So they got a guy in free agency that's going to be active in there, a lot of solo tackles. I think that's a tremendous move for the team. They have some, you know, other things they got to get done. They did lose a bunch of corners, some of which I'm sure they're not worried about, and some of which, you know, they're probably not too happy about. They lost a couple of safeties, but I think they're placed, the Vikings, in a good spot with this draft. They got a lot of picks. Of course, they still have Danielle Hunter, who I'm a big fan of, 14.5 sacks. They still got Afedi Adenegbo. I think that's how you say it. He had 7 sacks, you know. Both of those guys, Danielle Hunter had 18 TFL tackles for losses. Afedi had 8. And then we already talked about Jalen Johnson. He had 5.5 tackles for loss. He also had 3.5 sacks, which is a lot for an inside guy. So I think they positioned themselves well for the draft. And knowing those guys, they're probably going to grab a couple, hopefully, bargains late here in free agency.
Yeah, definitely. And I was also going to ask your opinion on Kirk Cousins. Now, he's had 2 years so far in Minnesota. They just kind of restructured his contract to give him 3 additional years. Do you think that was a wise move? I mean, he's played pretty well the first 2 years, but do you feel like he's the kind of quarterback that could really take a team deep in the playoffs, or do you think he's just kind of more of a caretaker?
I think he is built for the system. I think Gary's going to do a great job. Kubiak stepping in. Got the chance to see him during the season once and saw him at the combine, Kubs, and he's excited. You know, you got another weapon for him. I'm a big fan. One of the guys I worked with, a New Yorker that went to Syracuse, and at one point I think led the NFL in receiving yards, Rob Moore, was the coach of, I think you say it, Tajay Sharp. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm, Tajay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tajay Sharp. And he is a big fan of his. And when we got him, well, when the Vikings got him, I thought that was an excellent move. You know, he had 25 catches last year, 4 TDs. You know, 13.2 yards of catch is not a slouch. I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
They signed him to a 1-year deal. I think it's a great, great move. He did have a foot issue back in 17. I think he had foot surgery for like a stress fracture or something. But he is definitely a great addition. I was going to get off my lazy butt and come out here and pull up the interview from Rob Moore on one of my early podcasts when he's talking about Tajay Sharp and his group and show you guys like, hey, here's a guy I trust. I worked with him with the Raiders. He's a tremendous former player, tremendous receiver coach. This is what he says about Sharp. So I'll probably try to pull that up and put that on my podcast this week.
Well, and speaking of your podcast, your Odds and Ends podcast, you talk a lot of horse racing. You also talk, you've done tons of interviews. You've had quite the collection of football players. I mean, Russell Wilson and on down the line have been on your podcast. What made you kind of decide to get into the arena of podcasting, and what's it been like?
My son, my millennial son, Nathan, that went to Edina High School and also was Russell's backup at Wisconsin, and also has worked in the league and college and personnel and coaching. And I'm bored. I mean, he said, well, you know, why don't you do a podcast? Everyone's listening to podcasts. So I started out with the audio podcast. I think I'm too vain to do the audio podcast, so I went to a YouTube podcast because I want to see how, if I'm getting heavier or if I'm getting balder. So I went to the YouTube podcast. I do both at times. If I get a good interview and it's just an audio interview, I like to push out a podcast. I'll put out, or I would have put out, a week of podcasts for the Kentucky Derby like I did for the Breeders' Cup. I put out an intensive list of horse racing owners, trainers, breeders, bloodstock agents during the Breeders' Cup. I don't know if I did 12, 15, 16 interviews in a week. I was going to do that for the Derby, but obviously the Derby was canceled. So I really enjoy it. You know, I'm on the other side. I'm asking the questions as opposed to doing like I'm doing right now, answering the questions. I should have probably stuck with the audio podcast because everyone says I have a voice made for radio, a face made for radio on top of it. So. But I enjoy it. It's something to do. It's something to keep me engaged, guys. It keeps me engaged.
Well, I certainly enjoy them. And although I will say the video podcasts are a little odd to me because I'm not used to seeing you without the pencil in your ear. So
I know. You know what the problem with that is? Everyone asks me that. I have to choose. I have to choose between seeing and putting the pencil in my ear because I wear glasses now. So I can't put the glasses on and put the pencil on top of the glasses. I think that would look kind of foolish. So I have to choose between seeing and a pencil, and I chose to be able to see.
Well, I think you got to get a hold of like Oakley or something and have one of the arms of your glasses, you know, made out of a number two pencil or something like that.
And actually, I always use the number three pencil. If you look, I don't know if you can see it on my YouTube podcast, but I have a jar of pencils behind me. They're all number threes because I'm so, you know, type A stressed. I need a harder tip so I don't break them all the time.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us, and best wishes to you with your podcast moving forward and with all of your horse picks this year.
Well, I appreciate it, and we'll see how things take us. I know we're shut down till April 30th at least. I think our governor is talking about longer than that, and just stay home, be safe, and make sure you wash your hands.
Definitely. You stay safe, and thank you so much for your time.
All right. Have a great night, you guys.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Thanks again to Coach Tice for coming on the show with us. And you can, we failed to mention it while we were talking to Coach Tice, but you can follow him on Twitter. It's at Odds and Ends Pod. That's at ODDS, the letter N, ENDS, POD. You can, Mike has a ton of good information out there too during football season. He tweets out a lot of stats and trends and stuff. So if you're in the gambling community, yes, definitely. So if you're in the gambling community, Mike has a ton of good insights. So he's a great follow. And of course, check out his podcast for horse racing and for just general football knowledge as well. So thanks so much for Mike for coming on the show. It's time now for quotes, notes.
Here I go again with quotes notes. Was Tommy O able to connect via the Opal? Discuss TV shows recommended by Corey Cove. The CB's Hocknail. Whose butt slap sauce think well? All right. Well, let's start with the first one. I got Antia Utgard's TikTok. Holy smokes. Those shouldn't be allowed to be watched in yikes. Chuck, have you seen them?
I saw one of them that somebody had retweeted. I personally have not gotten onto TikTok. It's one of those strategic things where it's like, I better not, or I may be spending more time than hockey out there. So,
well, nobody uses TikTok for pornography like Chris Hockey does. It's supposed to be a social networking thing.
Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, it's
hockey's not. New genre.
So, yeah, I have stayed off TikTok, and I just see it when it comes up on Twitter.
Okay. Chuck, next one here is I have an awful addiction that I've picked up from being home too much and not being able to eat out lately. I, Power Trip quotes, am addicted to eating mini corn dogs.
Nice.
They're so good.
Yeah, like I've had mini corn dogs a few times. They're all right. I'm not the biggest corn dog guy. I'm much more of a Pronto Pup guy, though.
Okay. You
know, Pronto Pups, yeah, that's definitely the thing. I corn dogs just sound like, even the name itself, it just sounds very I don't know. Just low end, you know, corn dogs. So, yeah, I'll go for a good Pronto Pup, especially if I'm at the state fair.
Ooh, I'm too good for corn dogs.
I guarantee you, Zachary C. Burmeister doesn't eat corn dogs.
Yeah, that old son of a bitch. Yeah, he fancies himself some pigs in a blanket. All right, next up I have, so I'm going to trademark a phrase. I know I brought it up to you and brought it up in our happy hour the other day. I'm trademarking the phrase seltzer in place. Instead of shelter, I'm using seltzer. I think it's electric. Everybody else thinks it's dumb so far. But I'm putting all of my eggs in that basket right now. Seltzer in place. Let's go.
You knew it was bad when even people that drink seltzer thought it was a bad name.
No, come on. I thought this really had some legs, man.
Well, I will give you credit. It's better than White Russian in place. So
it doesn't even rhyme.
Exactly.
Okay, next up. The Zoom happy hour we did on Friday with most of our Vegas crew. I'd never done one before. That was super fun. I was glad to see everybody's face and tell some jokes, and that was fun.
Yeah, those are definitely cool, and we did it the right way, unlike John Kreisel and Paul Charchian, who unfortunately met up with lots of people that said some very inappropriate things on their happy hours. So, but that's obviously no fault of theirs. It's just, you know, the way things go when you open stuff up to the public, and especially a large number of public. I really think anything more, like, certainly no more than 25, but really, if you're going to do it right for, like, a happy hour kind of thing, like, 12 or 15 people is really where you want to max it out at. So it's
that's really just an insane number of people. Like, me and you Skyping doing our podcast every week, we talk over each other accidentally all the time. Like, having 25 people in there would be insane.
Yeah, I mean, we do it for work sometimes, but then, you know, most of the people, it's like, you know, to, you know, mute yourself and shut up unless something's, you know, specific to you. And so it, you know, it works definitely in a work situation. But yeah, like a happy hour where people are just throwing out random stuff. Yeah, you want to keep your group a little bit small. So we'll see how many people we get for the old Patreon one that we're going to do.
Yes.
I'm not going to kick anybody out. So who knows? We could get a larger crew, but we'll have fun with it. That's all that matters. So, so yeah, those are a blast. And I suggest definitely doing those with either your work people or your friends or whatever. Zoom's easy, and you'll have a blast.
Yeah. Hashtag seltzer in place. All right, next one. The anniversary of the Alaskan pipeline is today, the day that you are listening to this, the day that we are dropping it, April 1st. I'll never forget that moment. I was on the, and I probably told this a number of times, but I was on the bus going down to the airport, getting ready to go to the Masters. Oh, good for me. And I heard it, and I just, like, lost my mind, and it was crazy. I mean, one of the top five moments probably in the last 10 years on the show.
I think the only thing better than the day that it happened was the next month where they continued to bring it up over and over, and Rube started like yelling it at Rosie when they would see him in public. And Rosie just, there were a couple times on the show that he just melted down over it, and he was like, stop pushing the button! And so, oh God, that had legs, and it was brilliant. I mean, and you think about it too, because a lot of the times, State Fair t-shirts, it's like, it's stuff that happens in like, you know, June or July, like right before the State Fair, that's kind of fresh, and that's what they turn into a t-shirt. And so, yeah, this happened April 1st, and it was still a definite winner as a State Fair t-shirt.
Yeah, that was just amazing. But April 1st isn't the only thing that has an anniversary, as April 1st is also the day that Meat Sauce was running the board for Corey and JG while they were at the Final Four. And instead of connecting them to the radio, he tweeted out, I could really go for a Dome Dog right now, which still ranks number one of my favorite tweets of all time.
As soon as you said Meat Sauce was running the board, I'm like, yep, I know where this one's going.
Yeah.
And it's great because, you know, one of the things I like, Corey and Hockey are both such wonderful storytellers, and I love whenever Corey tells the story of that, of the Dome Dog thing. It's just so brilliant. So, yeah, absolutely. And of course, that becomes a very famous thing, because I will get texts from people that say, I could really use a Dome Dog right now. People will tweet at me, hey, I could really use a Dome Dog right now. So people remember that. And very, very, very classic Meat Sauce.
Yes. Last one I had was just congrats to Corey for all his success and with the Kickstarter campaign. Again, hoping that launch party happens. I went for one of the high roller packages, not as much as Carly Zucker, by the way, who had to get the in-studio experience, even though she's a regular guest on the show. But yeah, very excited for Corey, excited to play that game with my friends and family. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it to come out and play it. I've already, the people that I work with, you know, they know about the show. Obviously, they're not in Minneapolis, so they don't listen to it. But I told them about the initials game, and they like games. And so we're all set up to, as soon as I get it, we are going to be playing that at our work happy hours. So that'll be a lot of fun, especially with people that have never really heard or played the game before. So.
Right, and I was even thinking, like, on our show, we could do, like, me and you could play, or we could have guests on, or you know, Zoom happy hours, all this stuff. There's so many, yeah, I'm really excited for it.
Dave, you ignorant slut, we play initials regularly as part of the Bets and Quotes podcast, so, and they're the ones that I write, which are really, really good, if I do say so myself.
They are. You are a top five initials question creator of all time.
Just behind Corey, Church, and Nordo. So,
you're tied with Carly because she did it once, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think the only two people that have ever actually written clues are Corey and Church, because I think when anybody else does it, Corey writes them and they just read them. So,
yeah.
I think if I'm right, I think I'm right on that. The Church is the only other one that actually writes them. So,
Oh, that's right.
Because Corey trusts Church with everything.
Yes. All right. That's all I got.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. In the meantime, Dave, where can they find you at?
You can find me in my home or on Twitter at Power Trip Quotes.
And I'm the same place. House arrest for something I didn't do. But definitely everybody should be doing that. It's one more month. Let's see. Hopefully by May 1st, maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel, but just hang in there, get some food, chill, listen to some podcasts. And in the meantime, I'm Chuck, and I'm at Power Trip Bets. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.
Escapes all oncomers, then manages to spot Mike Tice for a 34-yard touchdown. Minnesota 17, Green Bay 7, and ain't the Limburger smelly.